The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Yeah, we got a full room of good-looking people. I see good-looking people over here. I see some good-looking people over here, especially over there. I see some good-looking people all the way back there. What's up, dudes? How you guys doing? So tonight, guys, we're going to be finishing our series, Love Like Jesus. And these guys, by the way, they didn't want me to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you guys anyway. They are single. They're looking for girlfriends. He's in 10th grade, and I think they're both in 12th over there. So after service, if you want to go, say hello to them. Sorry, guys. I love you. I really do. But guys, last week, Louie talked about the initiating love of God. And I want to finish this series up, Love Like Jesus, talking about how Jesus forgives sinners. Before I go there, before I start this message, I have to say next week is going to be probably the best event that we have ever had here at Thrive. We have water games planned out. We have a slip and slide downhill. We have a tractor pull in which you hold on to a ski thing and they literally whip you around on this slip and slide. We're going to have Dippin' Dots, something like Dippin' Dots. So you guys do not want to miss out next week. Make sure you guys come and bring a friend as well. But tonight, guys, I want to finish up Love Like Jesus, that Jesus forgives sinners. I don't know about you, but I think forgiving sinners is a little bit more easier said than done. And I was in my junior year of college when I transferred from Penn State to Slippery Rock, and I was living up in a single apartment by myself. And I didn't really know anybody, so I would try and go make some friends on a Friday night, go play basketball, go lift. And I finally got a good group of friends that I could go out with on a Friday night. And as I was always exiting my apartment, I realized that there was this door that was always open. And there was a boy inside, about 21, 22 years old. And he was always playing video games. I thought he just loved playing video games. But I realized that this kid had no friends. And while he was playing video games, he would always be throwing back a beer. He was always been drinking alcohol. He was always doing that kind of stuff. Well, one Friday night, I decided, hey, man, I'm gonna invite him out with my friends. Because me and my friends, we didn't drink, we just loved to have fun. So I said, hey, Robert, what do you think you come out with me and my friends tonight? We're going to just go to the gym, we're going to work out, then we're going to go eat. He said, you know what, man, I don't see why not. I'm always just playing video games, I'm always drinking, I need to do something. So he came out with us on a Friday night, and man, he had the time of his life. And then me and my friends decided, you know what? I think it's a good idea if we invite him to church the following Saturday night. So we invited him. And Robert gave his life to Jesus. And Robert began to walk with Jesus that whole semester. And at the end of the year, I said, Robert, this is my last year here. This is your last year here. I have two roommates already. We need one more. He said, you know what? I'll room with you guys. You know, we bonded well. I can room with you guys. So it was my senior year. And it was about 3 weeks in that I realized that Robert had a drinking issue. Robert would get drunk 3 or 4 times a week. And then me and my friends, we came in on a Thursday night after our classes. And we smelt this odor. I mean, it was a disgusting, smelly, mossy smell. And we were like, what the heck happened? Did someone forget to flush the toilet? Because in college, people forget to flush the toilets. And it stinks, man, especially the guys. But we realized, after walking through the house, that Robert puked in our kitchen sink and did not clean it up. And then we walked into our bathroom, and we realized that Robert puked in the bathroom sink and didn't clean it up. And he was nowhere to be found. And at that time, me and my roommates, we were furious. We were just livid. We're like, how can this kid come in our apartment and make a mess like this and not clean up after himself? So we sat him down after he got home from work. We said, man, this is unacceptable. You do it again, you're gone. And I began to have this bitterness and this unforgiveness in my heart. But guess what happened the next week? He did the same thing. He left beer bottles all over my room. And then he proceeded to do some things that he shouldn't have done to my objects and to my bedding and clothing. And I had so much bitterness against Robert. I was angry. I was upset. And I thought I could never forgive Robert. But when I read this scripture that I'm about to read to you guys here in a second, it pierced my heart. Because it says in Matthew 6:14 and 15, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you or when they trespass against you, well, that means shortcomings, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, neither will your Father forgive your sins. I want to read that again. If you do not forgive other people's sins, neither will your Father forgive your sins. At that time, guys, I broke out in a panic because I did not want to forgive Robert. I had no feeling or no idea or thing of forgiving him. I had nothing in me that says, man, I got to forgive him. I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to. But when I read Matthew 6, suddenly I had a problem because Jesus said that I needed to forgive him. And I believe tonight, guys, that there's some of you that need to forgive people. There's some of you guys that need to forgive what has happened to you. And I believe if we can do this tonight, then we could start this journey of complete healing. And what I mean by that is that we no longer have to carry that burden that we are facing. See, not only did Jesus forgive sinners, but he calls us Christ followers to do the exact same things. As he has forgiven us, we need to forgive other people. In Luke 23, we see the most beautiful picture of Jesus dying on the cross for me and you. You see, Jesus, let me tell you something about Jesus. He did not sin. He lived a perfect life. He came from heaven here on earth to die for me and for you. And as I read Luke 23, I see a beautiful picture of God's supernatural love and forgiveness. And it says in Luke 23, verse 32 and 33, says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed. When they came to this place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. See, to crucify somebody back in the day, it was rather expensive. It took manpower and it took time. And what happened was, if someone was being crucified, it was them being tormented and humiliated in front of the public. And what they would do to people that were being crucified, they would literally strip them of their clothes. They would be naked. And they would whip them. They would lash them. They would stab them. And they would mock them and they would make fun of them. They would spit in their face. And that's exactly where we see Jesus at this time. He's being beaten. He's being persecuted. He's being whipped to a point that he can't even stand. And then what happens is when they hang on a tree is they die through suffocation because their lungs, they can't get a breath in their lungs. So Jesus was dying on this tree, and in order for him to get a breath, he would literally have to go through excruciating pain to pull himself up, to take a breath. And he would grasp in that breath, and then he would breathe out, and he would have to do that time and time and time again. But in the movies, you see that Jesus and the other criminals, they were about this high from the ground. Their feet were this high from the ground. But that's not how they crucified Jesus back in the day. He was literally this far off the ground. And what would happen was they would do that because they knew if the people being crucified, if they could just take that one step, that they could have their freedom back, that they can breathe again. And the creation that he was dying for was mocking the creator in the flesh. They would say, you say you're the king of the Jews. You say you could save others. Save yourself. And they were mocking him. They were making fun of him when he was dying for me and for you. See, Jesus, he looked to his Father and he said this most unbelievable, loving, grace-filled prayer that you could ever imagine at this time. And it says in verse 34 that he said this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. See, I told you guys tonight that this is going to be a challenging message for many of us. Because if you live long enough, you're going to be hurt by somebody. Somebody's going to harm you. Somebody's going to go behind your back. And maybe tonight, that's exactly what happened. Someone was gossiping behind your back, making things up that wasn't even true about you. Or maybe for some of you, it was abuse. And it breaks my heart when I hear the statistics of sexual abuse in America with women. One out of every three girls has been sexually abused. And that breaks my heart. And when I think about that, I said, man, that's an unforgivable sin. I would never forgive somebody if they did that to me. Or maybe someone betrayed you. Maybe you thought you had a good friend and they turned their back on you. Or maybe someone stole your girlfriend or boyfriend. And you're like, how can I forgive him? I love that person. How can this be possible? Or maybe it's your mom or dad. Your dad walked out on you and your mom and your family. And you were raised without a father. You were raised without not knowing what a father figure looks like in your life. What tonight do we need to forgive? What tonight do we need to talk to God about forgiving other people? See, for some of you, it might not be something big or heavy, but it's that ongoing, nonstop person that always gets to you, always gets underneath your skin and drives you up a wall. It's like putting your nails through down a chalkboard. It's just that, oh, I can't stand that person. And every time you're around them, you just want to slap them. Or maybe it's unforgiveness towards somebody that's not even alive right now, but you cannot forgive that person. Or maybe you're bitter at God. You say this, God, why would you let that happen to me? Why would you let that happen to my family? How could that happen to me? I come to church every single week. I pray to you every single night. How can you let that happen to me? Or maybe it's yourself. You did something in the past that you knew was wrong. And you recognize that Jesus forgives you, but you cannot forgive yourself. You can't get past that. See, how do we learn to love and forgive like Jesus? How do we forgive people who have harmed us and who have hurt us? And tonight, I just want to focus on two thoughts. And I think these two thoughts, if we really meditate on them and we really take these in, they can begin to do a work in our heart. And we could start making progress to being free. Because when you find freedom in forgiving those who hurt you, chains are broken. Things and bitterness can no longer be on you. How do we forgive like Jesus? The first principle is this: pray for those who hurt us. Pray for those people that have hurt you. It says in Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. And I know what some of you guys are thinking right now. You're like, man, I'll pray for that person, all right. God, I pray that you give them hemorrhoids, that you give them the worst kind of hemorrhoids, hemorrhoids in the ear. And I don't even know if that's possible, but I think it paints a good picture of how we feel sometimes. Or some of you guys might pray like this: God, I pray you send them to hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worms never die. Maybe you guys are saying those kind of prayers tonight. I don't know what it is. But when we read in Matthew verse 43 and 44, this is the most shocking words that the audience has ever heard from Jesus. Let me just say this again. The moment that these hearers heard these words, they said, oh, no, 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 no. That's not what you mean. Oh, no, 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 no. What? Are you kidding me? And this was the most jaw-dropping thing that Jesus ever told these people at the time. And it's in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. It says, Jesus said this: you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wait a minute. Did Jesus just really say that? See, that would have been 100% countercultural in that time in any way. See, that was outlandish because the Romans, if you guys know anything about the Romans, and I just want to fill you in on this, the Romans literally worshiped a god called revenge. And they would say, Lord, get them, God. Kill them, God. Get them where it hurts. And then the Jewish people, they grew up hearing this: an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, blood for blood. If someone hits your car, you hit their car back. If somebody punches you in the face, you punch them back. If anybody kills your cat, you kill their cat back. If anybody steals your boyfriend or girlfriend, you steal them back. If anybody flicks you off while you're driving, these guys over here, you flip them back off. And that's why some of you guys tonight should not be having a Victory Family Church bumper sticker on the back of your car. Because when someone flicks you off or someone cuts me off, that's why I don't have one. Because if someone would cut me off, I'm not saying that I would flip them off, but I would literally chase them down and I would ask for forgiveness later. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody feel that way? Man, I want revenge. I want it now. But Jesus said this, you have heard it say this, but I say, love those who hate you and pray for those who persecute you. Did someone hurt you? Pray for them. Has somebody lied to you in your past? I think it's time that we pray for them. Has someone went behind your back and made up lies and gossiped about you? Jesus said, pray for them. Has one of your parents walked out of you, on you and your family? We need to pray for them. See, I really believe Jesus was saying this, and this is one of the reasons he was saying this. It was because it takes a right attitude before it takes a right action. See, right attitudes precede right actions. When you hate somebody, when you despise them, when you just can't stand to look at them, chances are you're not in a position to ask God for their forgiveness. See, and that's exactly what I started to do with Robert. I read the Word of God and I understood what he wanted me to do. And after everything that Robert did to me and to my roommates, I started by praying like this. Lord, I pray for Robert right now. Lord, I pray for Robert. And after a couple weeks of praying for him, my prayers looked like this. Lord, I pray for Robert. I don't know what he's going through. I don't know the struggles that he has. Lord, I pray that you just be with him in all that he does. And I began to pray, and my attitude began to change. And my actions began to change. Because your prayer for other people might not change them, but it will always change you. I want to say that again because that is good. That is good. And I need a response from you guys after I say this, because my prayers for others may or may not change them, but it will always change me. Can I get something here? Come on. Because Jesus said this, love your friends. You have heard it say this, love your friends and hate your enemies. But Jesus said this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The second principle that I want to look at, and we're going to finish up here in the next couple minutes, and it's this, forgive as you have been forgiven. Colossians 3:13 says this, forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. How do we forgive somebody that did something so dramatic in our life? We forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. How do we forgive somebody if we don't even want to forgive them? We forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. Because when I think about all the things that I've done, as when I think about all the sin that I committed, and I literally tally that up, I realize that just as I have been forgiven from God, I need to forgive those people because Christ forgave me. And at some time, we're going to have a choice to make. Are we going to continue to have that grudge? Are we going to continue to hold that wound and have that burden on our lives? I love what Anne Lamott said this. She said, unforgiveness or bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. See, the same way that God forgave me, I am going to forgive people that have sinned against me. That thing that person said about you, forgive them. That action that they did last week, forgive them. That parent that walked out on you, you need to forgive them. Because forgiving somebody, it won't change the past, but it can change your future. Forgiving somebody cannot change your past, but it can change your future. And the day that I decided to forgive Robert, God set a prisoner free. And guess what? That prisoner was me. And I end this story and I end this night with this. At the end of the year, Robert actually didn't finish school. He actually dropped out early. He was in his senior year and he dropped out. And me and Robert had a man-to-man conversation. And he began to open up to me. And he said this, "Zach, I know I treated you guys like crap, but you don't understand what I've been through in my life. I was actually adopted at a very young age. And I always had this thing in my mind saying, man, what about your brothers in Honduras? How do you get to be so blessed while they're in Honduras?" And he had so much shame and guilt and bitterness because he was here in the States while his family was probably begging for a meal. And at the end of our conversation, I said this, "Robert, I forgive you, man. I know you probably don't even really know what that means or never heard of that before. But in the past, you really hurt me, man. You did things you shouldn't have done. But just as Christ has forgiven me, I'm going to forgive you because I want to love like Jesus." What I want to do now is I was going to have our leaders come up and pray for you guys, but I don't want to do that. I want this to be a prayer between you and God. So what I want everybody to do is just close their eyes and bow their heads. And I want to ask this simple question. And I want you guys to be bold. I want you guys to be bold about this. I want you guys to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But if you're in this room and you're saying, "I have unforgiveness because of this," or "I have unforgiveness against this person," I simply want you to just raise your hand right now. I see hands. Is there anybody here that has unforgiveness? I see hands everywhere. And what I want to do, I just want to pray a blessing over your life. I just want to pray for you. And as you go home tonight, I want you to spend 5 minutes with God and say, "Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive them for what they have done. My mom and dad, they might have these legalistic, strict rules that I can't even do anything. I feel like I'm suffocating. God, I forgive them." Dear Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for every leader in this room tonight, God. You have called every one of these teens to be a leaders in their school. You have called every one of these teenagers to be the leaders of this generation here and now. God, right now, I pray for the unforgiveness and the bitterness and the resentment and the anger that is in these hearts. Lord, we offer it up to you. We say this, God, just as you have forgiven us, we forgive those people that have offended us, that might have broken our trust. God, we forgive them right now because we want to love like you, Jesus. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to do one final invitation, and that's to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You see, Jesus said this, "If you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart that I am the Lord your God, you shall be saved." And this is the best decision you can make, because once you make this decision, Jesus says, "Man, I cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. I remember it no more. I want a relationship with you. I don't care about religion. I don't care about laws, but I want to have an intimate relationship with you." And there's nothing you have to do to get right with God, but just simply say, "God, I turn towards you." So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want you to raise your hand on the count of three if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life tonight. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. Awesome. You can go ahead and put your hand down. What I want to do is I want everybody to repeat this prayer after me. I want you guys to speak it out for those that have prayed this prayer tonight. Dear Father God, repeat after me. Dear Father God, I thank you that you have died for me and that I can have a relationship with you. Here and now, I repent and I turn from my sin. and I run after you. I thank you for loving me, for who I am, and I thank you that you died for me. And we ask this in your name, amen. Let's give it up for those guys that raised their hand tonight. That is awesome. That is the best decision that you can make. Guys, I encourage you as a next step, as an application to this message, spend 5 minutes with God tonight and write down the unforgiveness that you have in your heart and begin to pray for those people. Begin to say, Lord, forgive them. I forgive them. I give this over to you. And you will literally have that wound be lifted off you and that burden be lifted off you tonight. So thank you, guys.